We already talk about marijuana a lot. That's to be expected when both of our states allow medical marijuana, and Oregon is about to legalize pot for personal use in 2 weeks. The marijuana boom is already reflected in the fact that the drug has its own reality TV show. It was only a matter of time, wasn't it? The Marijuana Show, airing online and on a few digital channels, is heading for its second season, with auditions coming soon to the West Coast. Wendy Robbins is co-creator and producer with Karen Paul and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Wendy, thanks for joining us. Wendy Robbins, are you there?
Yes, I am.
There we go. Okay, there we go. We got you up loud. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, no, I really, really appreciate it. Let me know if I'm loud enough.
You are. You're fine. Now, both you and Karen Paul, partner and wife, have some producing credits. What kinds of shows have you two worked on?
Well, you know, my background, I have 13 years writing, directing, producing, a couple Emmy Awards, mostly documentary and reality shows. So that's my background. Karen's more into the advertising, online advertising.
Okay. Are you surprised that somebody else didn't make a move to do something like the Marijuana Show first?
Yeah, I am. As a matter of fact, CNBC ended up saying with the guy that plays Mr. Wonderful on Shark Tank that it was high time for a Shark Tank for pot. And it makes sense. I mean, if you think about it, like HuffPo said that marijuana is the best business opportunity since the smartphone.
Wow, that's saying a lot.
Yeah, it is.
So, given you would mention Shark Tank here, so give us an idea of the premise of the Marijuana Show.
You know, what we did is for first season is we put out an audition. We had the idea, and 2 weeks later we had 200 people show up for an audition. And those people then got down to, we gave them challenges. 22 people got challenges, and 10 people got to go to Bud Camp. And Bud Camp is really an opportunity to learn A to Z how to do business in just a few days. And then they got to pitch investors. We had over $5 million offered to the contestants. So it's pretty amazing. And this season, I think we're going to do even better. I think we're going to get, we have different investors, people wanting to invest more money. And so we're looking for developed ideas, businesses that already have revenue, have the permits and the licenses. And we work on finding them the investment money. And it's exciting. And like Shark Tank, the investors make a decision, ask a series of questions, and decide yes or no.
And so who are the people who are testing the ideas that the ganjapreneurs, as you call them, are bringing in?
Well, you know, what we do is we bring them through. Karen and I are the gatekeepers. Then we introduce the ideas, the best of the ideas, sort of weeding out, so to speak, the ideas that are weaker, and then bring them to investors and see if the investor's interested. Then there's a series of doing due diligence, taking people through challenges just to see how they're going to do in the long run, and then bring them onto the show to learn even more. And then finally, they either get the investment or not if the investors feel like they're ready to go. And these are accredited investors. Typically, for season two, there'll be investors that are already interested in marijuana, have invested in marijuana, understand the challenges of it, and then maybe one Wall Street guy who's not as well-versed, but has invested in cannabis ideas.
So was season one based strictly in Colorado, where marijuana is already legal for personal use?
Yeah, we did that because we had two people that had edible products, and our concern was, you know, how would you try the product? You couldn't legally anywhere else near us. So we did shoot in Denver. We'll probably shoot in Denver again for season two, but now our auditions are more national. We're really interested in people all over the country. And specifically the West Coast, just because, why not?
We're talking to Wendy Robbins, who's the co-creator of The Marijuana Show, producer of it as well, with Karen Paul. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 around the region, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned the edible products. This is something that you're probably aware has become quite a bit of an issue. With marijuana. It was certainly something that was mentioned a lot in the campaign leading up to Oregon's vote because there was the concern that the products would end up in the wrong hands. It was the attitude that children could get a hold of the edible products when you didn't intend them to. Is that something you're being a little more careful with in the show as time goes on?
Yeah, I think what we do is we definitely talk about regulations. We talk about how to consume the product. But, you know, just like, I mean, think about it. A wine cooler designed really for teenagers. I mean, I know you're not supposed to, but there's concerns about alcohol and cannabis, and any adult should definitely put their cannabis, whether it's edibles or you know, smoke or dabs or whatever. They need to put it in a safe place, just like you would your, you know, pills, medication. If you're a diabetic, you don't leave your medication around. It's the same with this. There is a concern for me because edibles, if you take too much, it's intense. It's an intense, not good experience. And so, you know, definitely if you're new to the product, since, you know, in Oregon it's just going to become legal, and you tried it way back in the day, marijuana is way different now than it used to be. The strains are much stronger. So definitely be careful. Use, you know, less than 10 milligrams. Spend an hour and a half, and just see how you feel. And then if nothing happens, take a little bit more. But my fear is that the products are so delicious that, you know, you want to eat the whole bar, and that is not wise.
Yeah, that's what's been pointed out a few times by people with the concerns about the edibles. Just in terms of participation in the show, was there any trouble finding people who wanted to be on it? You mentioned that the auditions turned out quite a few people.
You know, I think this season is trickier in the sense that we're really looking for established businesses. So before it was more startups. You could have an idea. You just needed to have your license, your permit. You know, you had to have your basics. And even we actually chose two people who did not have their licenses, which did turn out to be a challenge for one of them and not for the other, because if everything's so regulated, you have to have your license. So this time we're making sure that companies have revenue. They're more established. And we have investors that are willing to invest millions of dollars into ideas. So that's why we're going for more advanced businesses and doing a lot of social networking or like this radio show. Somebody could be listening right now and have that kind of business. And even if they have a dispensary but they're not super successful, or let's say that they were really good at growing cannabis but they're not good in regular business, we have people that will not only help finance but help them in their business so that they succeed. And that's different from last season.
Wendy, had you and Karen produced a show before that was this much like Shark Tank in the sense that you not only have to round up contestants, but you have to round up investors who are interested in helping boost the businesses of the people who become participants in the show?
That's a really good question. I co-starred with Kelly Ripa on a television series called Homemade Millionaire. And what it was women who had inventions. My job was to teach them to become the CEO of their company, essentially, within like 3 days and pitch to HSN and sell out in minutes. So it was a different kind of thing, and I wasn't responsible for finding the people. This is way different, and you're right, it was really challenging. In the beginning, we knew no investors, had a good idea, and then had to convince investors to get involved with the show, and that was tricky. It had its challenges, for sure, but this time, now we know more investors, and so we're finding out exactly what they're looking for, and then matchmaking a little bit ahead of time and then throwing in some wild cards.
What was the pitching process like as you tried to, I mean, I'm assuming you tried to pitch this to broadcast and cable outlets, or did you just make the show first and then see who was up for it?
Yeah, you know, we decided to do it ourselves, and I've done so much network television, you know, 13 years background in directing and producing and like that. Networks have their own challenges. Everything has a challenge, but it takes longer. It's great because you've got automatic distribution. One would assume that there's an audience attached to it. But we wanted to make sure to tell the story right away and to tell the financial part of the story, because so many people have views of stoner, you know, the stereotypical sort of old-fashioned Cheech and Chong kind of thing. And it's so different. We wanted to bring up medical, the benefits of CBD, hemp. Most people don't even know that the Declaration of Independence was written on hemp, that Washington and Jefferson were hemp farmers, that it was illegal not to grow hemp for the government. It was, you know, the first Model T Ford was created out of hemp. CBD, we know, helps with epilepsy, autism. You know, it's being tested on Alzheimer's, et cetera, cancer. So those stories we wanted to be able to tell, and on my concern on, or both our concerns on network television, is who knew how they'd edit it, what the storyline would be. Would they make fun of it? Would they, you know, so this we got complete control. And now we're backward engineering where networks are interested in our show. They see the popularity, and so again today I'm having another meeting. So we'll see what happens. But we're carrying on because everybody does use their phone, and they use their iPad, and they use, you know, online, almost more than television nowadays, so...
So, Wendy, you and Karen sound like true believers in marijuana and its many uses, not just marijuana, but hemp, too, as you just pointed out, which makes you a bit different, perhaps, from somebody who might produce another sort of reality TV show.
Yeah, we see the benefits. I mean, the good sort of blessing, if you will, from this show is talking to so many, in particular mothers. I mean, I've spoken with fathers, too. But where they have a child with epilepsy and they didn't live in Colorado, they ended up moving to Colorado because their child couldn't get access, and all the medication that's out there available from pharmaceutical companies just wiped their kids out. So they had no personality. They couldn't even walk. They couldn't, you know, they couldn't think. Or I've talked to people who have parents in hospice or stage 4 cancer and can't eat. And you know, and so it feels to me like it's really important in this story to follow the money. And pharmaceutical companies have a lot invested in, for instance, chemotherapy, so they don't really have a huge desire to share the story that with, and I'm not a doctor, I want to state that, but that CBD has had huge positive results on cancer people where it eats the tumor, but it doesn't take out the good. The bad. It just takes out the bad, but not the good, and that's very different than chemotherapy. So we just want to be able to share those stories, and my heart goes out to all those parents that, you know, feel like they're criminals or get their kids taken away from them because they're using marijuana as a medicine.
Wendy Robbins, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, co-creator and producer with Karen Paul of The Marijuana Show, a reality TV show airing online and on some digital channels as well. Join us at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. What were some of the lessons you learned as producers as the season went on? Did you have to make some major tweaks along the way?
Yeah, the tweak from going from startups to established businesses, you know, really teaching people how to pitch. I think that the biggest thing, you know, we get the opportunity to speak all over the country, and entrepreneurs or gondrepreneurs, the biggest thing is they don't know how to pitch. They don't know how to effectively communicate with investors, and so they're speaking different languages, and so we were able to translate and then start teaching people about that. And you know, anybody that's out there is really taking a huge risk because obviously it's federally illegal. So, you know, I really admire the people who, in my mind, are sort of pioneers who are going out there and really risking it, because even if it's legal in a state, it doesn't mean on a federal level it's legal. So I just, again, admire people, and if we can teach people the skills of being an entrepreneur, you know, just because you love the plant or just because you're a great grower doesn't mean that you will be successful in this industry. So there's a lot to learn.
How many episodes did you make for season one?
Yeah, we made 18 episodes.
Wow.
For season one, which, you know, was pretty extraordinary. And now we just did a deal where we'll be on Comcast, Samsung, Dish, Xbox, Roku. So it's getting out there. And then in terms of streaming, we're able to reach over 50 million households. Doesn't mean obviously 50 million people will watch, but we're starting to expand our distribution. So that was really important, and that was a learning curve too. Like, what do you do? You know, like, have 10 people watch? No, you know, you have to just think outside the box. And I think that's true of anyone who's listening. If you have a dream or a desire or a passion, learn the rules and regulations. There's a lot to learn. It's not just a business. It's got compliance issues and regulations, and if you do it wrong, you give up your freedom and your kids possibly. So, you know, really, really take a look at our episodes, because we really do teach all the rules, regulations. Even if it seems boring, it's important. You have to know about accounting and law. So that's the value, I think, of our show.
So a lot is expected of a gondrepreneur, and in some cases more than perhaps be expected of an entrepreneur appearing on Shark Tank, the ABC show.
Oh, totally. Oh, yeah. I mean, for instance, your cost of goods, you can't write off. You owe the government, but you have to go with a huge truckload, because remember, there's no banks available. I mean, there's some banks, but they're typically, even if they try to start, they're typically closing down. I think that issue will change when marijuana becomes Schedule 2. So right now it's Schedule 1. What that means is the government says that there's no medical benefits to marijuana. Therefore, they call it Schedule 1, which cocaine and heroin even are Schedule 2, meaning that there is some medical benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to think, if half the states have already declared that medical marijuana, they acknowledge it, and it's got thousands of years of history, thousands, in China and India using it for medical purposes, and the U.S. government even has a patent on the medical uses of marijuana. You know, come on, at some point, once they say it's Schedule II, then right away it's going to be easier. There won't be those discriminatory laws between federal and state that we're seeing now that's so confusing. And then also, you know, then the banks can work with you. Can you imagine having that much cash? And some of the dispensaries in Colorado are making $50,000 a day, and they have no banking. So it's really complicated. That's just one of the many, many rules that are unique to this fledgling industry.
So talk about season two and the changes coming. Apparently you're going to have auditions in West Coast cities?
Yeah, we'll have in Los Angeles, in Washington, in Seattle. God, we'd love to come back to, you know, to the Portland area because we love Portland and Oregon. We do have online auditions, so you just go to themarijuanashow.com. It's got the in front of it, themarijuanashow.com, and there's a tab that says auditions. We wanted people really literally all across the globe are auditioning. So we've had people from Romania, we've had people from Europe, Canada, just, you know, Asia, all over wanting to be part of this the show, which is really cool. And so, you know, online people would submit a 2-minute video pitch, and if they're selected, we talk to them and then take them through some challenges and see if our investors are interested in them, because some people may not be right for the show, but they have a great product, so we can help with that. We can also help with distribution, so we've got like national distribution. If somebody had a hemp product, we can get it into potentially Walgreens or Walmart or, you know, any of the mass retailers, Target, et cetera, who are open to hemp products. And there's 50,000 plus uses for hemp, so, you know, that's pretty cool.
Well, it's a really interesting time in history and a really interesting concept. It's called The Marijuana Show. You can find it at themarijuanashow.com. Wendy Robbins and Karen Paul are the co-creators and producers. Wendy, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks, Jeff. No, I really, really, really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, take care.